KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sunray Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. If you already haven't left where you need to go, stay safe out there, dudes. I know all week, at least up here in Washington, weather's been cold and kinda sucky. Like, roads have been frozen over. I know going to work, I actually work at the top of a hill, so I had to... The roads ended up getting so icy that I had to toss my truck into first gear and just sort of crawl up slowly. One of the most terrifying things in my life. I thought I was going to go backwards or spin out or not be able to get to work, and that would have sucked. Walking up the rest of the way, but it's been windy, it's been cruddy, and then if you're down there in Portland, it's even worse. You guys got like 8 foot of snow and it keeps coming. So no matter where you're at, if there's a like school closure or something, even if your school's like 2 hours late, definitely heed that warning as stuff's bad. But you know what? If you're stuck at home because of the bad weather, definitely listen to The Buzz. We got an awesome show for you this morning. We have your last pair of This Wild Life tickets, and this is pretty much the last we can get them. So be listening all morning long. The phone number to call and make requests and win those tickets is 253-833-5004. This hour we've got your geeky news, we've got your regular news, and then we've got Hash It Out, where we go through some hashtags and see what's trending on Twitter. Stay tuned, that's all this hour on The Buzz, KGRG 89.9 FM.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz at 6:20 in the morning if you're already awake right now. So that means it's time for your daily dose of geeky news here on 89.9 KGRG FM. And I think I'll start off with a little bit of, like, Buzz-related geeky news and just sort of schmoozing in there. That's right, if you don't know already, if you haven't heard the spot for it, I have started doing some video game streaming on YouTube, doing it a live style. So if you pay attention to our Twitter or our Facebook feed, that's at TheBuzzKGRG. Yesterday, you noticed around, it was like 6 o'clock, 6:10, that I posted up a link that I am doing some live streams. I decided to start off with one of my favorite video game series, and we're going to do some Dishonored. So if you haven't had a chance to either join me live, I saw a few people watching a little bit. I only did it for like an hour. But if you're one of those people who managed to watch it, missed a part of it, you can search. The video game series is called Cork Plays Games Badly. Wouldn't watch the first, like the Overwatch videos, just watch the Dishonored one, because I'm going to play throughout the first and second games. So, in case you didn't know, bit of Buzz-related geeky news, let's go and get into some actual good stuff, some good stories. First news story I have is pretty exciting for me. Again, it's video game related. Ha. But the screenplay for the Uncharted movie has been completed. A major part of getting the Uncharted film off the ground has finally been completed. Screenwriter Joe Carnahan has officially completed the screenplay for Uncharted movie. Carnahan, who also wrote The Gray, celebrated the occasion on Instagram with a Instagram picture of just, like, the title page, I guess you'd call it, just says Uncharted, the Uncharted logo, and then, yeah. I don't know, man. Pictures are worth words. But as our buddies at Slash Films have pointed out, there's still a long way to go before this film is in production. There are so many things that could go wrong from here on out, and you know what? Some people are saying it's not worth celebrating, but it's a big step. I'm really excited because the Uncharted video game series is one that's pretty near and dear to my heart. Like, I wouldn't call it one of my favorites, but it's very Tomb Raider-esque in the sense that you are a dude who runs around and you do some treasure hunting and quote-unquote tomb raiding in other countries, and I could see it being a really good movie. The story throughout all four games has sort of been a through line, and it'll be interesting to see where they take it. There are a lot of different holes they could go through, and there are a lot of, like, there's a lot of things that they could do with it. And I know that video games being transformed into movies typically hasn't gone well, but this is one where I'm willing to give it a shot. In terms of movie news, we've got some pretty obvious stuff. In case you had any doubt, Tom Holland confirms that Spider-Man will be in Avengers Infinity Wars, which I guess that was a worry for some people? I don't know, man. But It's always been pretty safe to assume that since he showed up in Captain America Civil War, Spider-Man was going to be back in action fighting alongside the Avengers in the Infinity Wars. However, there's been no official confirmation until now, for those of you who had any doubts. Tom Holland, the guy who acted as Spider-Man in Avengers, or not the Avengers movie, it should have been the Avengers movie, but whatever, in Captain America Civil War, confirmed it in an interview with Vogue, and after all, the last we heard from Holland on the matter was that Spider-Man's inclusion in the film was going to be up in the air. The first tweet below, I'll go and read it, says, quote, "It is they who convinced the Marvel, Downey and Evans, the producers wanted to be sure that I was the right person before you and trust three films over the next 4 years, including Avengers Infinity Wars." So that's pretty safe, like, that's a pretty safe bet, and it's cool to know that they want to vet him out and make sure that before you toss him his own standalone movie and two other movies on top of it, that this is the right guy for the job. If you listen to Mike and Mickey, After Dark, I forgot, he calls it the Monday Project now. If you listen to the Monday Project, last Monday I was actually on there and Mike and I talked a little bit about the state of these new films. Both DC and Marvel, and again, I think this is the right kid. I really liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I think he was the best out of the three, but I think in terms of what they need a Spider-Man now for, I think Tom Holland's the best spot. And then to go along with that bit of Marvel news, Zoe Saldana reveals James Gunn is a producer on Avengers Infinity Wars, and also confirms that Gamora is going to be in that too. Gamora being Zoe's character from Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's really good news also, because James Gunn did an amazing job with Guardians of the Galaxy, and the fact that he's going to be on Avengers Infinity Wars, which is going to have a huge space theme to it, it's really good news. It means the movie's in safe hands now, and it means that we'll probably end up seeing a connection between the Guardians of the Galaxy and some of the stuff happening on Earth by the end of either like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or possibly even Thor Ragnarok. We'll see. A lot of exciting stuff on the space front there. And then last geeky news story I have, for those of you into some older movies. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with Richard Fleischer's 1973 sci-fi flick Soylent Green, but it depicts a world locked in a resource shortage where citizens are given chips of processed food ration of the same name. It's pitched as an all-purpose food substitute that has everything you need to survive, but in the movie's famous climax, Soylent Green is revealed not to be made from algae, but rather from human corpses. So, some company decided to make the unfortunate idea and name their food product after it. It's just one of the many mysteries of Soylent, the meal replacement that has taken Silicon Valley by storm in the last year or so. On the surface, it resembles quote-unquote diet shakes, like Nutrisystem or Ensure, popular among the old and the lazy, but Soylent is designed so that you never have to consume anything else, much like Soylent Green. But needless to say, the body doesn't really work like that. Soylent fandom has arisen, and I'm not sure if any of you have read the reviews on Amazon for sugar-free gummy bears, but they've definitely started making some pretty awesome product reviews. A lot of it involves farting. I actually have one up here right now. It says, quote, "Last Tuesday, I had a single serving of Soylent 1.6 powder mix in the normal ratio that morning for lunch at noon. At 3:30 p.m., I started feeling ill, and by 3:45, I was throwing up. I threw up three times total and felt generally okay after that. I got rid of that batch of Soylent Green. This morning, 6 days later, I opened up a new bag of 1.6 powder, made a new batch, and let it sit in the fridge until noon. At noon, I had another glass, one serving. It's currently 4 p.m. EST, and I'm feeling queasy. I'm on the final two bags of 1 week V6 box. This batch manufactured 07-20-2016, Best Buy 7-17-2017 batch number L6188. I had no problems with the first five bags of the seven in this box. I'm fairly long-time user, regular user, coming from version 1.2 to 1.5, now 1.6. I consume Soylent regularly 3 to 5 times a week during lunch Monday through Friday. Update, 420. Yep, just pulled the trigger and puked three more times. Feeling better, but not 100%. So, the future's a weird place. You have, like, Idiocracy starting to come to term, or starting to come to be, and now Soylent Green. It might be people, they're claiming it's algae. I still wouldn't trust it.
That's your geeky news for this morning on 89.9 KGRGFM. Stay tuned. You got your regular news coming up next after Dropkick Murphy's Warriors Code.
Breaking news.
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 This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents This Wildlife at Elkhorn Zone on January 14th. If you want a really awesome night of a really awesome show, call right now, 253-833-5004. We'll hook you up with a free pair of tickets to This Wildlife at Elkhorn Zone. That is the 7th, or the 14th, which is only a couple days away, so get in on those tickets now. It is 6:30 though, so let's go ahead and get into some of your regular news. And first news story I have, it seems like the internet still hasn't learned their lesson. Longtime listeners of The Buzz will remember such internet contests as Let's Name a Boat, where a research facility decided, you know what, let's let the internet name our new research vessel. It didn't end well, and they didn't like the outcome. The outcome ended up being naming the boat Bodie McBoatface, but the research company decided, you know what, we don't like that name. So Monopoly decided to follow in the footsteps of the Bodie McBoatface unfortunateness. And you can now vote for new Monopoly pieces. I don't see a gorilla one on here yet, and the voting process is pretty strange. If you go to votemonopoly.com, you just sort of, like, go through this room, and you click on the item you, or, like, the one you want. You don't get a regular ballot. It's weird. It looks like you can select such pieces as a beach volleyball, or a rollerblade, or a bicycle, or a motorcycle. There's a turtle. What else do we have? We have a really fancy-looking watch, an M that I don't get, an emoji, a phone. And it's almost like a scavenger hunt. Like, the phone is set on a little nightstand next to the bed. There's a hat in the closet next to some shoes and some boots and a bow tie. You think they learned their lesson, though. Like, this is how you get a Harambe piece, which I'm not objecting to. If anything, we need more Harambe pieces. So if you want to help Monopoly out, you can go vote on that. Next news story I have. A Roosevelt man, he got a $128 ticket for doing something that most people do, heating up his own car in his own driveway. But I guess that's the thing you can get fined for. One man's parking ticket has gone viral with thousands of views after he was ticketed for heating up his car in his own driveway. Taylor Truppiano says that he's still shaking his head over a parking ticket that he got on his own property. The ticket was for leaving the keys in the ignition with the motor running and no one else around. Truppiano said that he was only doing something many people in Michigan do during the winter. Frustrated with the ticket, he posted a photo on Facebook where he racked up thousands of comments and shares. The Roosevelt Police Department ticket comes with a $128 fine. There's no state law against leaving your car turned on and unattended, but dozens of cities across Michigan have local ordinances. Many of the ordinances will allow you to use a remote start because the vehicle is locked. But it's the issue they have is when you leave the car unlocked. And the theory I've heard behind this is it's because if you leave your car unlocked and you leave it running, you're basically asking for somebody to steal your vehicle. And if the worst comes to worst and somebody does steal your vehicle, you're costing the city way more than $128. You're costing time and effort from the police to find your car because you left it unlocked. And you're getting insurance money. $128 is just a drop in the bucket to stop people from doing something stupid and getting their car stolen. But at that point, if you're willing to take the risk and warm up your car like that, if it gets stolen, man, that's your fault. And it was on his property. I don't know, man. If you want to tell me how you weigh in on it, call me at 253-833-5004 or at the BuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter. Last news story we'll have for this hour. A man is arrested after setting his underwear on fire in a Tallahassee Starbucks. Because, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. And apparently your underwear, too. A man has been arrested for setting his underwear on fire in a Starbucks bathroom. A barista told police that on Tuesday She had saw the suspect, Randall Sullivan, go into the bathroom, noting that he stayed there for a long time. After a while, the barista smelled what she thought was the oven, but when she go check on the suspect, she asked him if he left a mess on the bathroom floor at the 608 West Tennessee Street location. She checked the floor and saw that a lot of smoke and a pair of underwear was burning. Police said that the customer stopped Sullivan and alerted some officers that were already in the parking lot. The barista told police that she did not see anyone else go in the restroom. When police searched him, found the lighter in his pocket. Sullivan had been charged with arson. They said that they also confirmed that he was connected with another arson incident on December 27th at a different location. This guy definitely looks like the type of man who would light his underwear on fire. And I don't... Did it smell that bad, buddy? Like, did you have an accident and just... I've experienced that, man. If you ever go camping and you know what? You're stuck out in the woods. You don't have any toilet paper. You do the best you can, but typically your camping underwear doesn't turn out that well. This guy wasn't camping. And yeah, I've lit some underwear on fire. Just old, gross, worn out pair that I didn't want anymore. But never in public. I don't know. This guy definitely looks insane, though. That's your news for this hour. Stay tuned. We've got a Hash It Out coming up after I Am a Nightmare by Brand New. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. That was Better Without You by Assuming We Survive. And it's time for Hash It Out. Hash It Out is where I find some hashtags here on the old Twitter and see what's trending. For those of you who don't know, hashtags are not delicious hash browns, but rather those things that you used to play tic-tac-toe with. And they decided to turn them into some sort of social media thing. I've been using it, but I don't know, man. They're used to start conversations. Or that's what I've been told. And I barely use my Twitter. It's at TheBuzzKGRG, both on Twitter and Facebook. I use the Buzz Twitter more than I use my personal one. If you ever hit us up on the Buzz one, I always hit people back. But it's time for Hash It Out. First one we have is hashtag should be allowed at work, where people chimed in and decided these things should be allowed at work, and a lot of them I agree with. We have get out of meetings free cards, similar to a get out of jail free card. With this one, yes and no. Meetings are important for very specific reasons. For those of you who don't know, KGRG has an actual management class, and part of it is going to the management meetings that happen every week. If you miss a management meeting, if you miss a couple in a row, you very quickly start becoming out of touch with what's going on. Same thing with at work in general. A lot of the time, there are relatively important things, or at least the meetings I've been to. I don't go to all that many work meetings, like actual job that pays work meetings, because they don't happen that often for me. But when they do happen, it's you should be here or else you will probably get fired sort of meetings. Somebody else says bouncy castles. Now, I work two jobs. One of them, it's locally owned. Dude's probably not going to bring in a bouncy castle, but the other job I work at, it's more of a corporate gig, and I could see them doing the bouncy castle. Like, even just, not even for kids, just for the adult employees who work there. Because, I mean, their holiday party, they turned the office into a casino, and that was legit. So I could see them doing a bouncy castle. No children, hashtag, should be allowed at work. Unless you're running a clothing sweatshop, in that case, you're just building strong work ethic. Last part's a little dark, but I agree with no children part. One of my jobs, we are kid friendly. We actually encourage kids to come in. I do a lot in board games and card games and whatever. So it's definitely a kid friendly environment. But my other job, yeah, I could do without kids. I had one coworker who would bring her kid in with her. I wouldn't say constantly, but definitely consistently. And it was always a little weird. Kid behaved themselves though, so what are you going to do? Last one we'll do for this one. intelligence should be allowed at work, but I'd settle for hashtag common sense and actual working. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, though? The actual working part is the one that gets me sometimes. I mean, everybody's fallen privy to it. Everybody has those days at work where you're just not feeling it, you're not feeling well, you're feeling lethargic, you didn't get that much sleep, whatever your excuse is, or, you know, that you show up to work and you're just not having it today. I've been there before, and the actual work that gets done, it suffers a little bit. But there's always... They come in pairs. There are those two coworkers who are always really close friends, or they hang out with each other outside of work and stuff like that. Not to say I don't with some of my coworkers, but these guys, like, down to playing games online with each other and that sort of thing, they typically are the ones who are, you know, slacking a little bit. Last one we have, and this sort of works into our word of the week that's coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock, it's hashtag I'm always forgetting. Some of them are hashtag, I'm always forgetting that gas prices aren't so bad if you consider the fact that you are really buying explosive dinosaurs. Explosive liquid dinosaurs. True that. I'm always forgetting where I put the lighter. That's why Thursday night I had to buy three. Like, we bought a cute two-pack. One's a pickle and one's a jar. And then I just have a random black lighter that floats around. Thursday's always lighting candles, and it's always, where's the lighter? Oh, you know, around. But it found out if you buy enough of them, they're really hard to lose because they just pop up in random places like your pocket. Hashtag, I'm always forgetting to be unforgettable. That's kind of sad. Hashtag, I'm always forgetting that the northwestern storm fish start jumping out of the water. And there's a gif of a lady getting hit in the face with the fish. Okie dokie. Hashtag, I'm always forgetting by March to take care of my body. I won't be forgetting this year. I'm committed to making fitness a way of life. I've always been in relatively good shape, or at least a shape, so I can't say I sympathize with this one, but yeah, I definitely start feeling unhealthy when summer comes around and I want to go swimming, or it's nice enough to go running. I ended up just buying a pair of really nice gloves because taking my dog for a walk has become less of an inconvenience and more of... I don't want to lose my fingers to frostbite and him just pulling on the leash and chopping them off. I end up buying him like a little jacket too, because it's cold outside, man. Hashtag I'm always forgetting that not all people have the same heart as I do. Growing up, I wasn't the best at socializing, believe it or not. And yeah, getting used to different people was always weird. Like elementary school had a very, very close, very small group of friends, like a couple of them who I ever trusted. And then, like, junior high, I grew a little bit more. High school, I grew a little bit more. But, like, pre-elementary school, even, like, my first elementary school that I went to, I'd say even pre-fifth grade, it was really hard for me to make friends. And then once I started making friends and, like, getting to actually know people and socializing, it was difficult to realize that other people, you know, don't exactly have good motives. But those were your hashtags for Hashed Out for this morning. You have hashtag, I'm always forgetting, and hashtag... should be allowed at work. Let us know something that you think hashtag should be allowed at work, or hashtag you're always forgetting at the BuzzKGRG on Facebook, on Twitter. Stay tuned. You've got your word of the week coming up next after local band Low There and the brand new song In My Head. This is The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Brand new Low There on 89.9 KGRG FM. If you're a local band and you want to submit your music to KGRG, possibly get some airtime, you can send your music submissions to music@kgrg.com. That's music@kgrg.com. But it's time for your word of the week on KGRG-FM. KGRG-FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. Word of the week is where I pick a word. Occasionally it's a phrase. This morning I'm going to let you know right now it's a phrase. And we're going to talk about it and increase your vocabulary. This morning's, it's a pretty common phrase, so if it actually increases your vocabulary, I'll be surprised. This morning's word of the week is note to self. Our definition of note to self is, it's an exclamation used when you want to punctuate slash emphasize an obvious or insulting quip or action. It's also an exclamation highlighting something you did not know until then, or a personal reminder. For example, note to self, Jared is an idiot. Note to self, don't put wooden objects in the dishwasher. Or hashtag note to self, pay rent. That one's a little obvious, but a good personal reminder. Reason I bring this one up is because I do this a lot. I have tried to do the whole, like, planner thing where, like, high school mainly, junior high actually, it's where it started, and even all the way up into college here at Green River, they'll give you, like, those free planner things, and you can write down your appointments and when big projects are due. They're really helpful, and I've actually tried to use them, but it's just like every other New Year's resolution. I guess it's like a new school year's resolution where I'll whip out my planner, actually start writing down dates, and then it'll just sort of dissolve to, oh yeah, I'll just remember it, or, like, leave, if it's really important, I'll leave a note on my phone, like I have one of those little notepad things, like one of those notepad widgets. But, yeah, that's the personal reminder to me that's the biggest one. And sometimes it is stuff like pay rent. There have been a couple of times where I've been somebody's ride, and I've had to set alarms for that. If it's a really big event, I'll set an alarm. Whether it's waking up for the show or something like that, I'll actually set an alarm so I know this is an important thing. As for an exclamation highlighting something you didn't know until then, I can't say this one really fits with me. The closest I can get with this is on Facebook. They've recently added this feature where you can save videos, but I'll just sort of share it to myself. I have seen a lot of people do that, or just like sharing for later or tagging myself for later, stuff like that. I'll do that on Facebook. I will note to self, hey, this recipe looks good. For the first time, I actually was excited to make a Facebook recipe. I see them all the time, and there was this, they look really easy. It's just like those really fast-moving videos where the hands are just like, oh yeah, just take this ingredient, dump it on top of this, stir it, bake for 2 hours, done! I found a recipe for buffalo chicken pull-apart bread, and I showed it to Thursday. I was like, hey, we should make this. This looks really easy. This looks like something I could cook and not mess up. She actually looked into the recipe. It takes like 2 days to make, and you have to sacrifice goats and yeah, it wasn't worth it. But, yeah, highlighting something I didn't know until then, it's mainly, like, something I don't want to forget. And then the note to self, an exclamation when used, or used when you want to punctuate or emphasize an obvious insulting quip or action. I haven't done this in, like, any of these, like, quips, or I probably do and not realize it, one of those hubris things, but it was really obvious back in the day, like, again, junior high, high school, where it was obviously, or note to self, those sort of things. Those were really popular back in the 90s. I'm not sure whatever happened to those quips, but since I've grown up, and it's tough to say I've grown up, I've used less quips, unless I'm being ironic. It's weird. It's an odd feeling saying I've grown up. But that was your word of the week for this morning. It was note to self. Whether you're making an exclamation, highlighting something you didn't know until then, or you want to use it to punctuate an obvious insulting quip or action, or maybe it's just a personal reminder, let us know. Do you constantly write notes to yourself? Are you one of those people who does like the whole string around a finger? Do you set alarms? What do you do as a note to yourself? You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG FM. I'm Cork. We'll be back after Evergreen by Knuckle Puck. Punks in a Disco Bar by Beachling on 89.9 KJRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And we're going to continue doing our new segment that we debuted last week on Thursday. So, again, longtime listeners, you're used to hearing trivia around this time. But we have a new segment where we have some situations. And like with all situations, some good stuff happens, but there's also, you know, consequence that comes along with it. Luckily, I found some surveys that... Internet was surveyed, and we got some answers to these very important situations. Such as, we'll go ahead and dive into our first one. You can live in a video game of your choice, but the consequence on this one is you have just one life. I mean, doesn't say you can't earn more lives. You have those games like Crash Bandicoot where you get 100 of those Wampa Fruits and hey, you got an extra life. But I don't think I would do this one. I can think of a video game where I would feel comfortable enough only having one life in it. The ones that come to mind are like Grand Theft Auto, where if I was just a random citizen, I might get ripped out of my car and, or, you know, just blown up. Call of Duty is the obvious just no-no because you spend the entire game just getting shot. I don't think I've ever played through one of those games without going through like 8 billion different lives. Been playing through Bioshock recently. That one, they actually have a trophy where if you go through like hard mode or impossible mode without using any, or without dying, so it's possible, but you get a trophy from doing that, so that one, God no. That game is terrifying, and I would not want to only have one life in it because I'd get eaten. So I'm going to say I wouldn't live in a video game of my choice. But 60% of the internet said they would. 40% said they would not. So I'm in the minority on that one. But yeah, one life in a video game, that doesn't sound like fun. I need multiple. I need to be able to like jump off of buildings and do crazy stuff and know that I'll be okay. Next scenario we have here. Let's go ahead and do this one. You're immortal, you can fly, and you have infinite money. But every day you have to eat 10 tarantulas, or else one person that you love dies. Wow. That's pretty brutal. One Twitter suggestion says that it doesn't say live tarantulas, so you could cook them up. I know that, like, bug candy is a thing. A very, very gross thing. I'm pretty squeamish. I can't do horror movies, or at least, like, those slasher fics. I can do suspenseful movies. But I can't do the super realistic, like I've watched a Saw movie. That's about my extent of getting gross. So if I knew the tarantulas were in there, I would probably vomit. But you know what? Maybe it'll be like one of those, you eat 10 spiders in your sleep per year. Although this one you eat 10 a day. It'd be worth the money. Being able to fly would be cool. Up here in Washington, the air's pretty cold, so that would kind of suck. You'd freeze. And you are immortal, so, you know, if one of the spiders bit back, you'd be fine. So let's go ahead and do it. 50% of the internet said they would. 50% said they wouldn't. I can definitely feel that. Next scenario we have. You could survive any death 9 times, but you're a cat. It's the whole 9 lives thing. I don't know. I've always thought about if I could be an animal, what would I be? That sort of thing. Especially like in the 90s, if you remember the Animorphs books and or show, that's a big thing, man. You get to be any animal you wanted. I don't think I'd want to die 9 times. That sounds painful. That sounds real painful and unfortunate. Even if I was a cat, so I'm not going to say I would do that one. 54% of the internet said they would. 46% said they wouldn't. So again, in the minority on that one, definitely... I don't want to die 9 times, man. That sounds unfortunate. Alright, last scenario we have. You become a millionaire and live a long life, long healthy life even, but every day at exactly 6 o'clock p.m., you must sit deadly still in a chair for an hour and do nothing without fail. I'd end up falling asleep. Plain and simple. Like, I don't know any way around that. If I get bored, if I get complacent, I fall asleep. It's a habit of mine. So I couldn't do it. Physically, I couldn't do it. $1 million, I would try. And living a long, healthy life would be cool too. But an hour, that'd be tough. So I'm gonna say I won't. 69% of the internet said they would. 31% said they wouldn't. And again, I think the 31% is along the same lines as me, where I just couldn't do it, man. But that was our new segment here on The Buzz. We debated it last week on Thursday. Still gotta come up with a name for it, though. We'll figure that out. You know, it's college radio. But go ahead and dial right now, 253-833-5004. We have your This Wild Life tickets. It's at El Corazon. It's going to be January 14th. That's coming up in just a few days. And Elko shows are always fun. I've been to more than my fair share at this point, and would definitely encourage you to go do it. And as an extra incentive, so you know what they sound like in case you've never heard of This Wild Life, if you've listened to KGRG, you know who they are. But here's 405 by This Wild Life on 89.9 KGRG. Again, for free This Wild Life tickets, that's 253-833-5004. 253-833-5004 for free tickets.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents This Wild Life at El Corazon on January 14th. If you want a free pair of tickets, that's a free pair of tickets to see This Wild Life. And why wouldn't you? They're awesome. It's going to be a relatively feelsy show, but you know what? Got a couple big bearded dudes playing guitar, singing songs about their feelings. It's going to be a good night. Call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004 to see This Wild Life at El Corazon. January 14th, that's like 3 days away. We're almost halfway through January already. I can't believe it.
Woo!
But it is 7:32, so let's go ahead and get through your 7 o'clock news. For you Caddyshack fans out there, I've never actually met anybody who's like a fan of that movie. I know plenty of people watch it, and I know it's a critically acclaimed movie, but I've never actually talked to anybody who's just like, oh my gosh, Caddyshack is my favorite movie. Could be wrong. Call me at 253-833-5004. Hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, at TheBuzzKJRG. Let me know I'm wrong. But the yacht from Caddyshack is for sale in Maryland. January is one of the few months where Leonard Diligenum, good luck with that last name, buddy, doesn't get much use of his boats. Snow covers the dock, and a sheet of ice covers the water. He says it's a cool boat, but many times he felt like he should keep it up, but you know what? She doesn't want to. He's selling the boat for his sister-in-law. It belonged to his brother, who died from a stroke in 2014. The yacht is 60 feet long, comfortably sits 20 people. It has three cabins, a kitchen, a flat-screen TV, and showers. But the most unique part is that the boat's famous. The Stryker 60 was the star of the nautical chaos in the 1980 film Caddyshack, where it careened around the bay, cutting off vessels and breaking others in two. For decades, several people had claimed to own the Caddyshack boat. But when Leonard Diligen recently listed the yacht for sale, Robert Dangerfield's stunt driver in the famous scene authenticated it. The famed Diligen's brother never knew. Unfortunately, no one up until now had ever confirmed it. It was just an old boat with a new anchor. He hopes that the yacht sticks around long enough for the ice to melt for one last spin around the bay. But it's listed at $129,000, which, from what I've heard, for a yacht, is relatively inexpensive. When I took my trip to North Carolina, there were some like boats where you needed a timeshare to even like be a part of it, and that timeshare is going to run you a couple million. So, for a boat that seats 20 people, has a kitchen on it, yeah, sure, why not? But speaking of the kitchen, let's move our news to the kitchen, where a man shot his daughter and his wife over a grilled cheese sandwich. Enraged Baltimore man opened fire at his home after someone took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich, sparking an hours-long standoff with police as he barricaded himself, authorities said. Cops were called to the Dundalk, Maryland home in response to a domestic incident around 5 p.m. on Sunday. When Baltimore County officers arrived, the man's wife and daughter came out of the house in North Point Boulevard and told them that shots were fired. Although no one was struck by the gunfire, police officers said that the unidentified man fired the weapon in a meltdown after either his wife or his daughter had a taste of his grilled cheese sandwich. The man barricaded himself inside the home alone roughly for 4 hours until finally surrendering peacefully to police at 8:50 p.m. He was taken to the local hospital for a psych evaluation and expected to be charged, according to the news outlet. I've been there. I've been there constantly. Where, you know what? I made my food. When I actually cook my own food, I make my food for me. That's why, when it comes to cooking for other people, unless it's like one of those like things where you take it out of the bag and like it's already pre-made, or like you microwave it, or you toss it in the skillet and just sort of heat it up. Those sort of things you can't mess up. But when it comes to like sandwiches and stuff like that, man, I make them for me. And so if somebody were to take a bite out of my sandwich or something that like I prepared for myself, I wouldn't shoot anybody over it. I might jokingly say I'd stab somebody over it. I wouldn't actually, for those of you who are police officers listening on the radio. But I can sympathize with this guy. Again, stabbing and shooting people over food is wrong, but delicious food is delicious food. Last news story for this hour, a girlfriend was stabbed, or she actually stabbed her lover because he ate all her chips. I'm the dude who eats all the chips. I wasn't this dude in the story, but I eat all the chips. But a woman stabbed her lover with a knife following a meal with friends. The friends were there too, holy cow. Because he ate all of her chips. Diane Margaret Clayton, 34, of Blackburn, Lancashire, was at her friend's house with her boyfriend, Simon Hill, when an argument started about who had been eating all the chips. Clayton got so annoyed that there were no more chips left that she grabbed a kitchen knife and stabbed Mr. Hill in the shoulder. 34-year-old admitted the assault and was jailed for 26 weeks at Blackburn Magistrates Court yesterday. Pavrin Ekatar prosecuting said that the row began last November after the couple had gone to a friend's house for drinks and homemade chips that were cooked. Again, food's great. I hate when people touch my food, just like with the grilled cheese sandwich. Parties are a little different, though. Like, if the food's out there, I try to restrain myself from eating all of the food at a party. Like, if there's pizza, I'll grab a couple of slices, wait for everyone to be done. Typically, at a party, that's what most people do. And then you go back for seconds. It's the seconds where you find out who the real warriors are. Because that's where you get people battling out for, like, the last couple of pieces. And it always feels bad when there's one piece left. But when it comes to chips and dip, man, if it's a good dip, I'm gonna be the dude munching all the chips. All of them. So, I feel for this guy. It would suck getting stabbed over eating all the chips at a party, but that's what they're there for, right? Party food's there to be eaten. Hosting my own parties, having leftovers of anything always sucks. Like, especially if it's like chips. Because you put them in a bowl, and you can't get them back from the bowl into the bag. So this guy is doing a party favor. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. That was your news for this hour. Stay tuned. We got your six-pack coming up after Lights and Sounds by Yellow Card.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz. Six-pack.
89.9 KGRG FM. That was a lot of dispute with such small hands. But it is time to get into our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. This morning's, it's weird to categorize, not gonna lie. I'm gonna put in the realm of awesome because I think conspiracy theories are awesome. I listen to late night radio and those people are insane. But we're going over the top six insane conspiracy theories about music stars. And these are just great. Like, you have those conspiracy theories going all the way back to, like, when blues was founded. And the founder of blues sold his soul to the devil down in Georgia. Or even you have, like, Devil Came Down to Georgia where, you know what? Kid sells his soul for a golden fiddle. So, and sing. Insane music theories happen. These ones are just a little more updated than old bluegrass references. First one actually has to do with the devil. It also has to do with The Weeknd. That's right. The Weeknd and the devil. The Weeknd rose to fame in 2013 With his first tracks, Can't Feel My Face, The Hills, and Earned It. In fact, these songs landed in the top three spots on the Billboard Hot R&B song charts. However, not everyone is convinced that hard work and perseverance made the singer famous. Some firmly believe that the videos for all of his albums, Beauty Behind the Madness, allude to his relationship with the devil himself. It was thought that The Weeknd sold his soul to Satan to achieve riches and fames that he enjoys today. Apparently, the fire that set the nightclub on fire in the video for Can't Feel My Face is from the devil. It shows the singer how popular he could be once he parts with his soul. In The Hills video, The Weeknd is gifted two girls by the devil. And in the Tell Your Friends video, The Weeknd is shown standing off against the devil and shooting him with a gun. It's also alleged that the video for Starboy alludes to The Weeknd being in the process of becoming a pawn of underworld rituals and activities. Neat. How does one go about contacting Satan? That's what I want to know. Like, do you draw a pentagram on the ground or do the whole candle thing? I don't know. Because, again, listen back to our earlier segment on demand if you missed it. Would you sell your soul to Satan if you could even reach, like, the Weeknd's fame? Because he's pretty famous, man. He's doing pretty well for himself. That'd be one I'd have a rough time with. Next one we have, number 5, Britney Spears actually stopped singing in 2007. I thought she stopped singing much earlier, to be honest, but she's still doing stuff now. But, it is quite apparent that Britney Spears does not sing during live performances, opting instead for lip syncing and sometimes awful results. However, a new theory suggests that Spears isn't the one singing on some of her albums either. The theory originated in 2007 when Spears released Blackout in the midst of her public meltdown and her head-shaving activities. For anyone wondering how she could come up with such a stressful album, or such a successful album, while she was apparently losing her marbles, it is alleged that her backup singer, Maya Marie, did the singing on the album. It is also alleged that Marie stepped in to sing some of the songs on Britney Jean as well. Even though both the singers have denied these claims, these conspiracy theories remain alive and well on the internet. With the way technology is right now, that wouldn't surprise me. Like, it doesn't take much for somebody to just fake being someone on the internet or on an album. With the auto-tunes and whatnot. Here at Green River College, you can take an introduction to production where you learn all the tips and tricks by making radio production. You sort of learn some of the stuff behind the scenes and what they do on album mastering as well. Same thing if you were to take introduction to broadcast technology, only offered winter quarter here at Green River College. You learn some of those tips and tricks like auto-tune, and we even watched a documentary where it went over, you know what? These are the stars who have to use auto-tune, and these are the stars who can actually sing. Katy Perry surprisingly being one of them. But yeah, wouldn't surprise me if Britney Spears actually did stop singing in 2007. It wasn't until after the whole head shaving thing. I thought she just fell off the map, but then she came back and she started judging stuff. It was like the X Factor or something. I don't remember. But it's time for number 3. Sia has been kidnapped. I don't know who Sia is. I know who she is. I saw her on an episode of Saturday Night Live. It was the Donald Trump one last year. She's the chick who has like half of her hair black and half of her hair white, and she never lets anybody see her eyes. Pretty weird chick. Anyways, in 2016, hashtag Save Sia became a trend when some of Sia's fans became convinced that the star had been kidnapped by Beyonce. It all started when Sia made a seemingly innocent comment in an article that working with Beyonce was like being at a writing camp. That sounds pleasant. I'd be at a writing camp with Beyonce. Sounds like fun. Somehow, fans were convinced that this meant Beyonce had kidnapped Sia and holding her captive in a dungeon and was forcing her to write songs. One person on Twitter even tweeted the FBI Seattle office to help Sia. Others ranted against Beyonce, demanding that she let Sia go. Another part of this insane theory has it that Sia wears those massive wigs to cover up the bruises caused by Beyonce hitting her. Oh man, I didn't think Beyonce was that mean. How could somebody who sings Single Ladies be that cruel? Allegedly. I mean, That's an over-exaggeration, though. Talking to some of my, like, musician friends, when you start writing, like it sounds like they were, or when you're in studio, it's like being held down in a prison, except more fun because you're doing something you enjoy. But you sit down, you do work because studio time costs money, and you just put your nose to the grindstone, man. So that one's an over-exaggeration. The Weeknd selling his soul to the devil? I'd be interested to see how that works. So if you've ever sold your soul to the devil, contact us at 253-833-5004 on Facebook, on Twitter, at TheBuzzKGRG. Let me know how that worked for you. Did you become famous like The Weeknd? While you're at it, you can win the last pair of tickets to see This Wildlife at El Corazon on January 14th. That's 253-833-5004. Call me, get a free pair of tickets to see This Wildlife. We'll be back with part two of the Sick Pack after a cover of I Can't Feel My Face by Our Last Night. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG.
And now, back to the Six Pack.
You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG-FM, KGRG-FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. We're in the middle of our Six Pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. Again, this morning, I think it technically gets put in the awesome sauce category. That's a new category now I just made up. But, because conspiracy theories are fun. I find the people who actually believe them to be a little odd, but they're fun. For example, number six, in case you missed part one, The Weeknd sold his soul to the devil, according to this conspiracy theory. Then I want to know how that works. If you've ever sold your soul to the devil, call 253-833-5004. I want to know the process. What did you do? Again, 253-833-5004 if you've ever sold your soul to Satan. I want to talk to you, man. Next one, number five, was Britney Spears stopped singing in 2007. Honestly, I thought her career ended in 2007, but she came back. And then number three, Sia had been kidnapped by Beyonce. And I couldn't think of a better person to be kidnapped by. She seems like a very pleasant lady. So let's go ahead and get into number three. If you're a fan of American Horror Story, this one might be a little interesting to you. Number three, Lady Gaga is allegedly a killer. According to this conspiracy theory, Lady Gaga has a number of sinister rumors surrounding her and her career. The latest one must surely be the darkest to date. Conspiracy theorists believe that Lady Gaga will not tolerate any kind of rivalry when it comes to releasing music. So she murders those who attempt a little friendly competition and then steals their music, as one does. It's alleged that Gaga pushed musician Lena Morgana off of a building in 2008 and then stole Morgana's musical identity to launch her own career. It is also claimed that Gaga has placed subliminal messages alluding to murder in her music videos. For instance, a newspaper in a Gaga video appears with the line, Lady No More Gaga. The words More Gaga are so close to Morgana that, you know, it has to be a clue, right? She left a clue saying she confessed to a murder. It's fine. I don't know. I don't know about this one. I watched Lady Gaga recently. She was the performer for, who was it? Tom Hanks, for Saturday Night Live this season. And she hasn't gotten better? Like, I think at this point she should stick to acting. Because what I heard about her in American Horror Story, the hotel one, she was really good in it. And she played a very convincing murder, which I guess gave this rumor some legs. But as far as her performing, maybe she needs to kill somebody with some better talent if she has killed people. I don't know, man. Number two takes us all the way to our girl T-Swizzle. Taylor Swift is apparently a clone. Taylor Swift probably has as many conspiracy theories surrounding her as she has hit songs. The latest one to hit the internet is possibly the most bizarre of the lot. It claims that not only does Swift have a link to satanic leader Azina LaVey, but also that Swift is actually LaVey's clone. And I have a side-by-side picture of the two I'll post up on the Twitter and the Facebook at TheBuzzKGRG. It's pretty uncanny. The creepy resemblance between Swift and LaVey is a fuel for the internet fire. It is claimed that the Illuminati took LaVey out and replaced her with Swift. LaVey's father was the founder of the Satanic Church, and she was given the position of high priestess at the church. She left the position in 1990 and was replaced at some point. Oh, and Donald Trump becoming president means that Swift can finally reveal that, oh man, that she is a clone. Oh man, that is, again, I'll post a picture. They're side by side and it looks pretty legit. Plus, lady went missing in 1990. Taylor Swift was born, what, 90, 91, 92, around that area? So, yeah, there you go. Number one, and this one's probably, I put it at number one because it's my favorite. I love Simpsons conspiracy theories. It's, Prince's death was predicted by The Simpsons. When Prince died in April 2016, the world was in shock. Unfortunately, it didn't take long for crazy rumors surrounding his death to start making the rounds. One crazy theory is that the TV show The Simpsons predicted the singer's death 8 years earlier. An episode featuring Homer Simpson murdering Prince with his own guitar had been taken as a foreshadowing of the star's death. Another theory has it that Prince also predicted his own death at the hands of the Illuminati because he posted a picture on Instagram shortly before he died with the following caption, quote, "just when you thought you were safe." That's pretty cryptic, man. But I love the Simpsons stuff. Obviously, there's always going to be a coincidence, right? But the fact that they did things like calling out Donald Trump becoming president, if you ever watch any of their Treehouse of Horror series during an election year, they always, like Homer always does the voting thing where they try to guess who's going to be the next president. The Simpsons is weirdly good at their job. You gotta give it to them. 20 years, they've obviously got to see some patterns, so they know what's up, but I'm not going to say they called Prince's death, but the Trump presidential thing is pretty entertaining. That was our six-pack this morning, our top six weirdest celebrity conspiracy theories. If you have a fun one, or again, I really want to know how selling your soul to the devil works. I've never done it. I've never met anybody who has. I'm not saying I want to. I want to interview somebody who has. Call me at 253-833-5004. We'll hook you up with This Wild Life tickets. Or if you just want the tickets, call me. 253-833-5004. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We'll be back after Dwell by Southworth. Mid-20 Skateboarder by Pew 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 on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz. And if you listened earlier to this morning's Word of the Week, note to self, you got a little insight on how I use note to self as a way to remind myself of things and whatnot. Note to self is a way to remind yourself of things, or you can use it ironically, or you can use it as an insult, whatever. Visit The Buzz on Facebook and Twitter to find the official definition of that, or you can listen back earlier when this goes on demand on KGRG.com. But I want to know people's strategies to remembering things. Because I am god-awful about remembering things, down to when I get text messages from people, or when people message me on Facebook and stuff like that. If it has to do with a show, at the BuzzKGRG on Twitter and Facebook, that stuff I'll reply right away. I love talking to fans. Same thing if people call me at 253-833-5004. I will talk to people all day. Favorite part of it. But when it comes to my personal life, I have to actively remember to message people back. My mom, I know, is she can attest to that. In fact, she probably gets the most annoyed. But because I sleep during the day, due to one of my jobs, I have a bad habit of checking my messages and then when I get them, and then falling back asleep, waking back up, and forgetting to reply. Same thing with remembering where stuff is. I know I've talked about this before, but if something isn't where I left it, it gets moved, if things change in any way, I'm sort of a creature of habit. So if it gets moved, I can't find it. It turns invisible on me. So if I need to remember where something is, I will put it in a spot. I will remember where it is because that's where I put it. And even if I don't remember the exact spot, I'll remember the general area. For example, parking. I am the absolute worst at parking. I have to commit to memory where I parked. But once I remember where I parked, I get it. For that trick, for me, my note to self on parking, I just have to find, like, I'll try to park as close as I can to the front of the building. Or if I'm at a mall, you just sort of remember which store you parked in front of, right? But if I ever park in, like, the middle row, in the middle of, like, a Walmart or whatever, since they have giant parking lots, I'll just, you know, lose my truck or wait for everybody else to leave, I guess. It's a bummer. When it comes to important events, I'll write myself alarms. Or I'll actually use, like, the calendar on my phone. If you listen back to the Word of the Week on demand from this morning, I did try the planner thing. It doesn't work, at least for me. Like, even I tried using it for the show when booking guests, just because I never wanted to double book or anything like that. It was tough. I ended up just doing it on my phone. But I'll actually set alarms for important things. Or, like, if I need to take time off, the second somebody mentions to me I need to take time off, I will ask them, is this a for sure thing? Is this going to happen? Like, when I went on vacation with my mom to South Carolina, or it was North Carolina, we didn't have a date planned. Or we had a date planned, but it took us a while to get the date nailed down. Every time I talked to her, it got changed around. So I waited till we had a for sure date. And as soon as she said I have a for sure date, I emailed both my bosses or texted both my managers and just said, hey, I need these days off. Because if I don't do it the second somebody tells me I need to take some time off, I will forget. Birthdays, I will request birthdays months in advance as long as I know. But if I don't request it right away, right when it's fresh in my head, I won't leave myself a note on that one. I'll just, like, I'll find out, like, the week before when somebody's like, hey, you doing this thing? Like, oh, yeah. I'm supposed to go to that. Oh, I don't have the time off of work. That's the worst feeling ever. So hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, at TheBuzzKJRG, or call 253-833-5004. What are your tricks to remembering things? I want to know. Because I'm just awful at it. I can't remember jack poo to save my life. So that's @TheBuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter, or 253-833-5004. How do you remember stuff? We'll be back with the news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KJRG Presents This Wildlife at El Corazon on January 14th. That's this January 14th, only a few days. For more information, you can visit KJRG.com, click that concert calendar. It's really neat. I was on the Monday Project this Monday with Mike. That's every 7 to 10. And we're looking at the concert calendar. We found something new. You can change the view. So visit KJRG.com. There's a lot of really cool, neat stuff if you haven't been there in a while. Like our on-demand section for our shows, stuff like that, and the concert calendar, where you can find more information on This Wildlife at El Corazon. If you want the last pair of tickets to see This Wildlife, call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004.
Woo!
That's our last news segment for today. And there's not much going on left in the news, so we got a couple more stories. And then there's one giant, mega, huge story that we'll touch on the end. Because there's a little something to say about it. So first news story we have, tooth whitening strips are stolen from Green Bay stores. You've heard of white collar crime. This might be classified as a white tooth crime. Not if they need to steal them. But Green Bay police say that the past month they've had 6 reports of thefts at area drugstores, missing $6,612 worth of Crest white strips. Honestly, that's it? That's not a whole lot with how expensive those things are. But police say in the 6 cases, the store employees later discovered that the boxes on the shelves were empty, with the thief taking out the products inside. Surveillance photos of a suspect is one of the thefts are posted on the department's Facebook page. Investigators don't know why the tooth whitening strips are being targeted. Officers are recommending stores that stock the strips do the following. Stock the white strips where, like you do tobacco or baby formula products, place security devices on them, stock the strips in the location of their video surveillance, or places chips under a security locker and remove upon request. Which, these are all things they did in retail. Like, people stealing the white strips isn't anything new. They've got these things called vaults where you can just sort of lock them up. There's a magnetic lock on it. It's neat. But we're getting retail, you find out just how weird people are with stealing stuff. I can't explain it. And they choose the weirdest things, man. Whitening strips, that one's actually a pretty popular one. And acids. That was a weird one. I'm not talking like Tums or whatever. I'm talking like the legit... You'll see a medical commercial, and at the end, the side effects are so long and scary, you probably don't want to take it afterwards. And it's like the ones that'll block your acid reflux for up to like a week. That sort of stuff. That was interesting. Adult toys? I'll leave it at that. That was an eye-opener. Found a couple of extra boxes there. Anti-diarrhea medication. That one was surprising until I found out why. I guess people on meth need to use it. So there's that. But the most surprising out of all of them was when I went to Portland and I found out that there's some weird, like, laundry detergent ring where people will steal those Tide packets, not like the liquid detergent, but the ones where, like, you take the little packet and you toss it in the washing machine and you just let it go. There's a weird, like, underground market for that. Like, there's a black market in Portland, and they deal with that, and that's a huge theft item. So, working in retail, you open your eyes to that a little bit. It's weird. It's something that people in restaurants don't really have to deal with that much. You have to deal with dine-in dashers, but you don't really have theft. Next news story, we have a wanted man dresses as Waldo from Where's Waldo to turn himself in. And he is creepy. But in England... A man sought by British police taunted law enforcement with a series of Where's Waldo-themed Facebook posts before turning himself in while dressed as the character. North Yorkshire police said the officer spent much of the weekend searching for JJ McMenamin, age 30, after he failed to show to court to face charges stemming from alleged driving offenses. Police say helicopters and sniffer dogs were employed in the search for the suspect. McKinnon, who apparently knew police were after him, changed his profile picture on Facebook to a photo of his face on the animated body of the titular character from Where's Waldo series, known as Where's Wally in Britain. Dude, I'm right here, a caption on the photo reads. The photo was followed by a series of Waldo-themed posts apparently aimed at taunting police. McMenamin posted a Facebook live video of himself dressed as Waldo while getting a ride to the Harrogate police station and talking about his plans to turn himself into the police. A second video that has apparently since been deleted... shows him arriving outside the station where he's waiting for the police to find him. Good for this guy. If you're going to go down, you know you're going to go down. Why not go down with a bang, right? At least he turned himself in, too. That's the whole thing. I can't believe that they released dogs on a dude who was just skipping court for some traffic violation. That seems a little intense. But you know, Britain, you do you. And good for this guy. Last news story... I'm going to preface it with the phrase that you've probably heard many a time here on KGRG, is that KGRG Studios, The Buzz, and every other specialty show on the station has no political views or political leanings one way or the other. But the biggest news story today, and if you go on the internet at all, Twitter, Facebook, just a random news site, you're going to see that President-elect Donald Trump is doing his first press conference since winning the election. I'm going to bring this to light just because whether or not you like the president, it's a big deal. It doesn't matter who the president is. No president has ever had a 100% approval rating. That doesn't exist. So when the leader of your country, whether or not you like him, speaks, you want to listen. Not because I'm going to say I agree with everything he says or even say I agree with anything he says, but it's because... If this guy is running your country, I'd say the same thing if Hillary won. You want to pay attention to what they say because it affects your life. Obviously, there are safeguards in place. If you've ever taken a United States government class, I did back in high school, you know the checks and balances and how Congress and everything and how the judicial branch all work together to make sure nobody gets too powerful. But educate yourself a little bit. Know what this guy is saying. Pay attention to the policies. And definitely just pay attention. You don't even have to actively participate politically. I didn't. This year, I'm going to confess that I didn't vote. Not because I didn't like any of the candidates. Not because I disagreed or because I was making a political statement. I just didn't. I know it's a very unpopular opinion, especially since a lot of people my age were really gunning for Bernie. And I'm probably going to get hazed on Facebook about this, but yeah. I'm just trying to do me, but I am at least politically aware enough to know that when the leader of any country speaks, you should probably listen. Looks like I got a phone call, so I'm going to get back in the music. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We'll be back after the Front Bottoms. Ohio is for Lovers by Hawthorne Heights. By request on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And if at any point during The Buzz, man, if you have a request, call 253-833-5004. Had a couple requests from a couple different people. Shout out to Andrew. He called in. Another request to Transit, Rest to Get Better, which is a song I fell in love with when I started here at KGRG. Haven't heard in a while. But he gave me a compliment. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for complimenting me. That was great. So he ended up getting those last pairs of tickets to This Wild Life. That's going to be January 14th at El Corazon. So if you see Andrew there, say hi and say congrats for winning those tickets. But since that was the last tickets of those ones, I guess that means tomorrow you should be listening in because we have a pair of August Burns Red tickets. They are going to be playing at El Corazon, oddly enough, on January 20th. It's going to be a Friday, so stay tuned. If you want those tickets, that's going to be tomorrow morning. But in order for tomorrow morning to happen, I got to get out of here. Plus, I really, really got to pee. And I'm going to hand over the board to our very fine trainees here at KGRG. So stay tuned in. If you have a request, give them a call. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG, you've been listening to The Buzz. If you've missed any part of this episode or past episodes, if you want to read some sweet blogs, visit KGRG.com, the brand new KGRG.com. Got a bunch of really neat widgets and whatnot you can click on and mess around with that concert calendar that's got all of our sick information for concert tickets you can win on the station. That's KGRG.com, or you can download the official KGRG FM app. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., this has been The Buzz.